is KGMI Connects with Joe Tien, a live local show about our community and you on KGMI News Talk 790, 96.5 FM in Bellingham, and KGMI.com.
Well, it's super having you here with us here on this Tuesday afternoon, and would even be better if you gave us a call, told us what's on your mind. And your opinion on that, whatever it may be, 360-676-5464 is our phone number. And as I said, it's just open lines, open ideas, open. We'll listen to your opinion. Might challenge it a little bit, but we all walk away maybe understanding each other a little bit more, if not agreeing. How's that? So give us a call, 360-676-5464. And one of our regular callers is on the line. And if you're listening to KGMI a little before 12 or a little before 1 o'clock this afternoon, I guess, you likely heard Jim from Seattle online with Lars Larson. Hi, Jim. Oh, wrong button. Sorry, there. Now you're on the air, Jim. Okay. I'm not doing as good as Lars Larson because he got you on the air right away. But
yeah.
So you called Lars Larson. I heard you talking about Michael Parenti and discussing or trying to discuss why socialism was better than capitalism. Was that or the problems of capitalism? What was the focus of your call?
Well, pretty much that, although he was very pointed. This is for maybe another call, but he was very sharp. He wouldn't really let me say anything I really wanted to, so I had to constantly talk about what he wanted to. But I did talk about Michael Parenti at the end of video, but I wanted to talk about social democracy, which is another Michael Parenti. And that's a little less, it's a little less strident than other forms of socialism. With the exception of maybe Richard Wolff's co-ops or something. His is a little freer, too, or whatever. But social democracy, essentially what Sweden had in the 80s and 90s and Denmark and Norway, whatever. You know, the thing, people got a pretty good living. They had high taxes, but they also had high wages. They didn't have a military budget, which is ours, is what, $1.5 trillion, I think. I just... it's being fudged, so that I've had, I think, more than one source has said it's $1.5 trillion now if you go into the stuff they don't report. So, and, you know, and that just is a huge drag because you get nothing for it except broken things that you have to have BlackRock go and rebuild somewhere else for fat contracts. And so it does no good for the average guy in the street, you know, the military budget. And so Sweden and Norway and Denmark, whatever, even Germany and France were somewhere in that realm. They didn't have the military budget, but they had high taxes. But the tax money was used for things that are good for using when they should be done by the state rather than or you know, on the public rather than the private. But they had capitalism. It was just people got along very well, and they got something like health care, education. Probably a few other things that were paid for by the tax dollars. So,
okay.
So I say to Lars Larson, I was, I'm trying to think of it. He mentioned something about Weyerhaeuser cutting I said, as I've said to you before, we are destroying the economy and the ecology, the environment, with our practices, our capitalist practices, because we're fairly well unregulated. Which, you know, OSHA, the list goes on. No minimum wages are terrible here. We strip mine and do all sorts of bad things. I did mention, too, that there was 111 degrees down south of here when I stayed with my brother.
But isn't it the growing economy I think we would have to agree that the growing economy is what is hard on the environment, is it not? I don't know that we're destroying the economy.
Well, but yeah. The economy's not working, I don't think. My brother lives in Los Angeles, and I heard this report on the TV. There's mile after mile of tents on the side of the road. It's really...
Yeah. Yeah.
And who reports that? Because Michael Parenti, in his book Dirty Truths I have, I don't have it with me, But he has a first part of the book. It's called Hidden Holocaust USA, and it just all the tragic things that are going wrong, people missing people, cancer, deaths from firearms, just a long list. And on that list was 2 million homeless. And the reason there are then 2 million homeless in 1996 is because many of them lived in shelters. So the people out roaming around the streets used to count heads of homeless, probably inaccurate, but they may have been reasonably ballpark, but they didn't count the people in the shelters, you know, which, there's the base camp in Bellingham. There's, what's the other one, Lighthouse Mission. But they open up that base camp, and that's, like a whole other shelter. And then there's also people that are, you've had on your show many times, that talk about the tents and stuff. Then they have to move them along. And
right.
One of your callers used to say, go out by Lake Padden, move them all out there. But it's a disgrace, and it's largely, I think, a sign of a failing economy.
Okay.
The economy, I think, has been steadily going down as capitalism tends towards that. They eat themselves. Capitalism is a system that can't reconcile with itself, says Michael Prenti.
I think we get the gist, Jim. And I thought it was unfair of Lars to accuse you of just wanting to lay around and get a check from the government for doing nothing.
I told him I worked hard at time. Well, pretty hard. Yeah. But I remember one I related to you before. I don't want to bemoan it or just overstate it. We ended up working on a construction site in Everett, and I was hauling pea gravel and shoveling as fast as I could to try to make it sure they wouldn't, you know, stop me from having the job. And I was doing it with a muscled guy next to me. We both got hired out of the DSHS hall.
Right, okay.
And so I ended up picking out a trench in the afternoon, and I couldn't even lift the pick anymore. My body isn't really suited for that, but my back gave out. So I had to stall for another 2 hours or 3 hours just to get my $30. I was completely useless. And I was thinking to continue on, but events took a turn of its own, and I have other difficulties and so on. But
all right. Okay.
Anyway, that's enough for today.
All right, Jim.
Thanks for letting me on. I'll try to go into what I was writing down here, but I'll do it some other time.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks for your call. And, homelessness is an issue that affects our community and so many others. I still believe that there are a multitude of factors in that. Part of it, our society, and we have to take some, or our society at least has to take some blame for it. I don't think just high housing costs are the only thing driving people into tents. That probably does some, or into their vehicles or what have you. But let's go on. Our phone number once again, 360-676-5464. Rich in Ferndale has some thoughts on homelessness. Hi, Rich.
Yeah, the thing behind Walmart's kind of interesting. The news just said that the owner had previously given permission to the Bellingham police to go in there and deal with them as needed and had the right to trespass them. So I'm not understanding why they're suing this lady then if they've already had permission. So there's something missing there or something's not quite adding up.
Well,
you know anything more about that?
All I know is that that's her response. And this is a woman who lives in Taiwan, as I understand it, who owns that property, obviously has invested in properties here in the United States. And that's the response from her part, from her and her lawyer, I guess.
Well, maybe the police can verify that. That should be verified with the police then.
This will all come out. This is an evolving process. You know, the city lodges a lawsuit. The defendant responds, and they move forward. There hasn't been any decision on all this at this point.
So our friend Jim, who is on Lars, and he said he was accused of being lazy or something. You know, capitalism isn't real bad if it supports people who can't or won't work. So he likes to say how bad capitalism is, but he's getting taken care of his basic needs by his own admission, so it's not that bad.
Well, I think I would say that that's, and I am an advocate of a hybrid system, which is basically what we have.
Well, yeah, I mean, we do have that. It's not really free capitalism. We are highly regulated. That's another thing he's super wrong about. You try to build anything like this jail we need that the voters have approved and that we are paying for is a minimum of 5 years into the future because of regulation. And it's sad because what's going to happen is by the time they actually start doing work, they're going to say, oh, we don't have enough money now because the cost went up. It took so long. Our studies, this and that, blah, blah, blah. I have a very well-founded fear that it will not actually get built.
Oh.
Because it's going to be the same thing as last time. Oh, we cost more. The old jail's taking up all the money. What do we do? Oh, this new code. We can't afford this. And then it'll just not happen again. There's a real risk of that. And that's because of the over-regulation of everything. You know, they have this state of emergency. They should untie. They should cut red tape. They should not be doing study after study after study after study for years and years and years just to build something that we desperately need to make our law enforcement have teeth again. You can't arrest somebody and help, and they're not going to stop doing anything when they know they get released 2 hours after they're arrested because there's no jail. So
I don't know what regulations are holding up. What regulations are specifically holding up the jail?
Many. So when you go to build something, Joe, you have to have an environmental study or one or two or three environmental studies. This takes time. This takes money. So we're expending resources on doing absolutely nothing except giving pencil pushers money. Now, it's going to get built one way or the other. It's just a matter of time. So these, to study a bug in the ground is very stupid. That property, I've been by there a lot recently. It is a mess. People throw garbage out there. There's half-burnt car out there on that county property. It's overgrown with alder trees and blackberries. That's another thing. They'll have to get a permit to clear the blackberries and the small alder trees because it's been let go for the last 10 years. No one's maintained it. And then building permits. You have to.
Okay.
OSHA is, we can't afford our own self.
Okay. So we shouldn't have any kind of regulation on, and we shouldn't have any kinds of,
we should
permitting
have
required on
of,
building.
We should have kind of, one quarter of the, yes, Joe, for things that are a public necessity, we should not
bleed
to death studying the dirt.
We don't care.
Yes, you know what, Joe? That does happen. Here's a great example. The gas station, Lummi Bay Market. $0 tax dollars, zero permits, zero studies, a beautiful facility, well-engineered, the best gas station in Whatcom County, and not one drop of government oversight because the Indians don't have to do that. It's big, it's wide, it's huge, it's great for trucks, it's great for people. They make money hand over fist. They collect the state tax money and don't give it to the state because their price is the same for gas as everybody else, but they don't actually collect sales gas tax. That's how we should build the jail. We should have the Indians build it. It would be done, and it would be half the cost.
All right. There we go. Well, and if that facility were found to be polluting outside of its boundaries or outside of the boundaries of the tribal land, I'm sure there would be lawsuits and efforts to mitigate that. But we'll take a quick break. Thanks, Rich. Appreciate your call. We got Joe, John, Glenn on the line. And we want to hear from you. 360-676-5464 is our phone number here at KGMI Connects. Back in just a moment.
Smith Mechanical, your go-to for heating, air conditioning, and refrigeration services. They're not just another company. They're a team that genuinely cares. Their professional and caring service technicians go above and beyond to take care of each customer they serve. Since 1990, Smith Mechanical has been dedicated to keeping homes and businesses in the Northwest comfortable all year long. Whether you need residential or commercial repairs, maintenance or replacement, Smith Mechanical is your reliable partner. They offer estimates to help you make the right choice, a choice that keeps you comfortable all year and saves you the most money. They understand the value of comfort and the importance of efficient systems. Their professional team is committed to delivering top-notch service with precision and care. Join the countless satisfied customers who have trusted Smith Mechanical for over 3 decades. Experience the difference. Visit them today at smithmechanical.com. Smith Mechanical, where comfort meets care.
I look at the big picture. Right, as a business owner, sometimes we get wrapped up on, I'm not gonna lose money helping that customer. I'm not gonna sit here and say that we satisfy everybody out in the community, but I can go to sleep happy every night knowing that we try really hard to satisfy as many people as we can. Knowing that the community has invested in us, when it comes time to invest in a customer, I have no problem. I have no problem saying, let's make it happen. I've had repairs that, you know, big high tickets, and I see them the same as if it was $100, because at the end of the day, they trusted us. They gave us an opportunity, and we just can't look at it like, oh, we're going to lose money in this particular customer. Well, no. Let's take care of them. Let's make sure they're happy.
Find new roads at BellinghamChevy.com. We're taking your calls live on KGMI Connects.
360-676-5464.
Thanks for being with us here on this Tuesday afternoon. And right back to phones, Joe in Bellingham joins us. Hi, Joe.
Hi, Joe. What do you think of these preachers on TV that say that we're living in the end times?
I don't put much stock in that. I mean, yeah. When have there not been some sort of soothsayers telling us that, you know, the end is near? I mean, old cartoons of the guy with the beard and bare feet with the sign saying the end is near. And I mean, we hear it here. I mean, I've got callers from both sides of the political spectrum saying, boy, our system is just collapsing and falling apart. But of course, with a different take on why that's happening. But what do you think of those?
I'm a Christian, but I don't believe the end times. I don't want to. It's too complicated. If you ever take a look at Revelations, you know, it's so complicated.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Anyway, I wanted to mention, this guy mentions Noam Chomsky a lot. Chomsky is a wobbly. You've heard of the wobblies, haven't you?
Yeah. The world labor movement, world...
industrial workers of the world.
Yeah.
I was thinking that might be a way out of the war thing that we got going now. You realize we've been at war since... Jimmy Carter.
Pretty much. Well, even before Jimmy, pretty more Jimmy Carter. But I had the thought too that there is a warrior class, and that warrior class can convince us that we need them and that we need to be able to wage war, there are existential threats out there, not necessarily to us. I mean, well, there are, if you think about nuclear weapons and things, but what really drives this, you know, militarism around the world, not just here in the United States?
Well, I have a theory about it. Yeah. We watch these Christian shows where they help starving people, kids in Africa and stuff. They just keel over and die for lack of clean water. And then we have people who got so much money, they're buying $500 bottles of wine and stuff. This, I think it's this disparity in income across the world that fuels war. And as long as there is war, there'll be the chance of nuclear weapons. That's my opinion.
Yeah. I mean, and different things, I think, fuel war. I mean, I was thinking most average people, regardless of what country they live in, want to go about their lives in peace and... pursue their interests or their, go to work each day, know that their family is going to be safe through the day and at home when they get home. And then you've got these leaders that are constantly at war with convinced that their country has to be at war or has to be in conflict with others. And I kick it around in my head. I don't have an answer to it, but.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, Joe.
Thanks for your show.
Good to hear from you. Thanks. Let's go to Glenn in Bellingham. Hi, Glenn.
Yeah, hi, Joe. Hey, this is your security guard calling.
Oh, good.
Everything's A-okay. A couple of my little suggestions.
Okay.
Jokingly, I have a light bulb. When it's green, good talk. When it's red, it's blue, it's so-so. When it gets to be yellow, it's caution. When it's red, thank you, call again, goodbye.
Okay.
In other words, so, no complaints, but like Seattle, gee whiz, time for me to go to the bathroom. when the bicycle man calls, I got to go to the bathroom again. I don't miss any calls, in other words, in my opinion. But when you got, you know what, Ferndale calling, damn good show, creates a lot of activity. But everybody has a right to say what they want to say. But Joe, maybe you, sir, you're very knowledgeable more than I am. But yes, after the call, don't give such a nice opinion. Next call, please.
Okay.
It's what I waiting for, to hear everybody call, not four or five people. Have a good day. Keep up the good work. Goodbye.
All right, Glenn. Yeah, maybe we could get that light system. You could wire it up here into our studio so you could tell me. Okay, time to let this one go. But appreciate it, Glenn. Let's see, real quick. John in Ferndale's been hanging on, speaking of Ferndale. Hi, John.
Hey, Joe. Yeah, you guys were talking about Southern Rock, and I don't know if you covered my favorite Southern Rock song. They were just a one-hit wonder band, I think, Mountain.
Oh.
But their song, Mississippi Queen.
Uh-huh.
You ever heard it?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Leslie West. And, Leslie West. Mountain had more than one. They were a thing. They weren't a top 40 band, but.
Well, their lead singer had an unfortunate face.
Oh yeah,
sadly. Great voice. I mean, I don't care, but you know, for the even back in those days, like just to be on, some of the shows and stuff. And who knows if they even wanted to tour? But
yeah, guitar player was Leslie West. He was this really big guy. I remember.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, what a sound. Yeah. Joe, I'm just worried about what's going to happen when this judge remands our former President Trump into custody for breaking the gag order. I mean, he's, tweeting out terrorist images of our president, I guess, dead or maybe just knocked out in the back of a pickup truck, and attacking the judge's wife, his son, and his daughter, and refusing to stop. I guess he just did a thing. So it's like, yeah, I'm just preparing for what's going to happen when he has to spend the night in jail. And if he does it again, it'll be two nights in jail. And or if they're going to fine him or whatever. But yeah, his violent rhetoric and this Project 2025, it's amazing to see people waking up, seeing the polls finally, like people are finally waking up and say, okay, well, I can't vote for Trump no matter what. We're not going to have a country. Literally, I had this Project 2025 is just it's a nightmare. No birth control, for some reason, gays can't get married anymore. I guess they're, what are they going to do? Like start discriminating in housing again? In Texas, that the Journal of American Medical Association just did a survey because of their anti-abortion laws, where they want to interfere in families' lives and these women's lives. 26,000 women in Texas are carrying rape babies. Look it up.
Okay.
Journal of American Medicine. So it's like, the time of Trump is quickly closing, as he's not going to live forever, and he's facing mounting legal challenges. And I'm just munching popcorn because Biden's going to beat him again, Joe. We did it before, and we'll do it again.
All right, John. Well, we'll see. We got some months to go before that that verdict is reached. We'll take a quick break. We appreciate your call. And we'll hear from John at Big Lake, Mark up in Delta, B.C., and hopefully we'll hear from you too. 360-676-5464. Back in 2 minutes.
This is Steve Berger, lead counselor and director of Contact Counseling Recovery Services. Despite being a fourth-generation Whatcom County resident from a solid, established family, when I was struggling with alcohol and drug addiction, my family didn't know where to turn to help. By the grace of God and a recovery program, I was able to get sober and have devoted the last 34 years of my life helping others find recovery from addiction. If you or a family member is struggling with substance abuse, please contact us at 360-671-3277 or contactcounseling.com.
They said it couldn't be done. They said it was impossible, but mark my words, I did it with Kohl's. That's right. I got everything I needed for my spring home refresh in one trip. I'm talking Sonoma Goods for Life bedding for 20% off and Espresso Virtual Plus Deluxe for 30% off. Cuisinart cookware sets for 35% off and Sonoma Goods for Life decor for 20% off. So if you want to get set for the season and save big, you can do it all at Kohl's. Select styles. Some exclusions apply. Espresso and Cuisinart coupons do not apply. See store or Kohl's.com for details.
Thanks for calling Discover. This is Gabby.
Hey, Gabby. It's Jennifer Coolidge. Hi. I'm so glad I reached you at 2 a.m.
Oh, of course. Anyone with a Discover card can call and talk to a real person 24/7. Now, how can I help?
Yeah, I used my Discover card to buy these yellow pleather pajamas, and I'm just not sure I'm pulling them off.
24/7 U.S.-based customer service. It pays to Discover. Limitations apply. Learn more at discover.com/creditcard.
The latest local news and important topics of the day from the West Mechanical Studio.
Rest easy in a cool home this summer. Contact West Mechanical Heating, Air Conditioning, and Electrical to add AC to your existing system for as little as $140 a month. Find them at westmechanical.net.
Get the latest news and information 24/7 with KGMI News Talk 790, 96.5 FM in Bellingham.
Streaming live at mybellinghamnow.com.
We're taking your calls live on KGMI Connects, 360-676-5464.
Good to have you with us here on this Tuesday afternoon, and let's go right back to the phones. John at Big Lake joins us. Hi, John. Good to hear from you.
Joe, I've been absent for a bit, but it always amazes me when someone gives an example of the ability to produce something quickly, i.e., the gas station that the Indians built,
okay,
with virtually no foolishness going on, and you said, "Well, we have to worry about pollution." No. I'm intimately involved. I'm not an Indian, but I have good friends who are.
Okay.
And they don't want to pollute their land.
Right.
There is no connection, Joe.
But I mean, I guess what proof? I don't know that it's a fact that they didn't do any kind of environmental study or anything regarding that facility or any other facility that they build. I don't know what regulations they operate under on lumination or wherever. But
who needs governmental regulation? There are laws that it doesn't have to take 6 months, 10 months, 5 years to build a bridge just because of all of these ridiculous environmental studies. But the point I'd like to make, Joe,
okay,
is that we are inundated daily with carbon dioxide is a pollutant. It is not a pollutant. It is plant food. The atmospheric concentration is 0.04.
Right.
And I am frustrated.
Okay.
When people say that our current atmospheric carbon dioxide, a pollutant, a bad thing, is 470 parts per million. Pot farmers and other plant growers flood their greenhouses to about 1,100 parts per million because the plants grow more quickly. I watched an experiment in Shelton, where it put up two identical greenhouses,
mm-hmm,
and orientation was the same, sunlight, everything was the same. They flooded the greenhouses to 900 parts per million. The other one was left at atmospheric level. And they were growing trees replanting stock mm-hmm. for forestation. The difference was astronomical.
Right, but on a global scale, we need the vegetation, and there's been deforestation, a rapid deforestation around the world.
Wait a minute, the amount of carbon that we're releasing,
and it can be measured in the laboratory. The heat trapping effects of it.
You are changing the subject.
Well, no, I understand. No, you're right. Go ahead.
No. Carbon dioxide is not a poisonous pollutant. The point is,
too much of anything. No, I mean, if there was too much oxygen in the room, you couldn't survive. You know, I mean, it's.
Are you saying that the astronauts went into space in 100% oxygen environment, and that's why that thing on the pad in Florida burned up. They reduced the oxygen.
Right.
People live in 100% oxygen all the time in emergency rooms and so on. 100%.
That's an increased level of oxygen. It's not, and maybe for a moment or if, you know, for a short period, they might give athletes and others a burst of, I guess, pure oxygen. I don't know, but you couldn't function properly if you are breathing pure oxygen all the time.
The first astronauts who went to the moon were in pure oxygen.
They had tanks of pure oxygen, but they did not breathe pure oxygen.
What are you talking about? Their environment in the capsule was pure oxygen. That's why the
Apollo
capsule burned up.
On the launch pad when they were testing. I remember that,
Correct.
Right,
and they were preparing for a launch, and everything was the same, and it was pure oxygen in the capsule, and they had a spark somewhere, and poof, everything burned up.
Right, so, but obviously that was a malfunction.
But no. The atmosphere was designed. The point is that everything that we are hearing, the constant drumbeat, the ridiculous Al Gore foolishness, not one single one of his predictions has ever come true.
Oh, I don't know about that, but because our glaciers are melting at a rapid rate, and ice. Well, they are. I mean, they say that it's just a matter of years that Glacier National Park won't have any glaciers.
Glaciers come and go.
Okay.
We are in a blessed period of warming.
Okay.
It is the most remarkable thing how Canadian farmers can go 50 to 80 miles north of where they ever could and grow crops.
Right.
It is not a disaster. It's not existential disaster. It is a good thing.
Okay, now, well, we might have to be... Okay, John,
okay, let me say this.
Real quick, go ahead.
If our carbon dioxide level dropped to 0.03, we would have less plant growth. And that is a guarantee.
All right. Okay, John. Well,
CO2 is not a pollutant.
Right. Well, in too great of a quantity, there was a Supreme Court decision that backed up the EPA on that. But that we'll leave that at that. Let's go to Mark in Delta, BC. Hi, Mark.
Hi, Joe. How are you doing today?
Doing well. What's your thought is on consumerism, I see here.
Well, I mean, there's many different ways we can go. Was it John you were just talking to?
Yeah.
I had to clear my throat and I missed his name. The fellow before that talking about $500 bottles of wine. I'm not buying $500 bottles of wine. I don't really drink much wine. But I have to say, though, as I've become older, like, my God, the amount of personal belongings and things I've amassed is just ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
It's like I've become a professional consumer. I don't know if that's the case with other people as you get older. I was down in Bellingham today, so I was at the Costco, did a big shop.
Uh-huh.
Better selection, less traffic for me, so I prefer it down there. But
uh-huh.
I don't know what it is. Like, you think it's when you have more money, like the ultra-wealthy, if they got like 10 times the amount of things I own, like it's just ridiculous. It's not healthy. I don't think it's really healthy for you.
Well, it's kind of the world we live in, and the message that I guess is drilled into us. Of course, we have to accept that message that you know, it's a sign of success, I guess, that the more stuff you have. And I think most of us are, I mean, look at all the storage facilities there are, you know, storage rental facilities there are in pretty much any community, regardless of where you are. They're, you know, people have so much stuff they have to rent another place to put it in. And, you know, my garage is full of stuff, and I've been trying to get rid of it and move it out. And it's got to go somewhere, ultimately. And if other people won't take it, then it, you know, it ends up going to the dump or what have you. And then that's it. But it's, I don't know, it's a symptom of our economy has to keep growing. And this is, now I'm starting to sound like Jim from Seattle, but as our economy grows and continues to expand, it requires us to keep buying stuff. And so it's kind of an endless cycle.
Well, that's an excellent segue to my next comment. I hope it's good to hear John's voice. I hope John doesn't blow a gasket when he drives by that Trump 2024 sign at that storage facility, I think around exit 272.
Yeah, I've seen that.
Anyhow, no, the stuff I have, like I have, it's mentally draining because you got to think, okay, you have it for a reason. You bought it for a reason. You've collected it, whatever. It's just mentally draining. You got to think, okay, pack it in this box. Do I sell it? Junk it? Give it away? Like, it's just, I don't know. Maybe I'm the only one that's in this dilemma here.
I don't think so. Yeah. And when you go to, you know, where we've, you know, like our, have older relatives in your family, and when they're a living situation, when they downsize or what have you, you go in and at this house full of stuff that you've got to do something with. And it's really a difficult issue. And it's tough. But.
Yeah. Last thing I'll say, Joe, is that I'm not ready to part with my stuff. Like, you can go through the alphabet and I have it, you know, in addition to food. And it's just, I mean, it took years to get to this point. I'm not a hoarder, but I have to really downsize somehow, and it's really, really tough.
Yeah.
And that's all I'll say today. So thanks for letting me on, and
thanks, Mark. Appreciate you calling.
Talk to you another time.
You bet.
Bye.
All right. And I recently upset my son because he had all this Guitar Hero stuff, you know, the guitars and the drum set and things, and he hadn't used them in years, and he's moved out. He's been out of the house for a few years, and then I thought, oh, I can get rid of this stuff as I did one of my trips to a thrift store and the Goodwill and gave it away. And then just after that, he's like, hey, do you have that stuff? He told me that the stuff is going for hundreds and hundreds of dollars online, and he is disappointed that I had given it all away. So you got to move that stuff out of there, and it's a challenge. Quick break, back with more. We got Jack on the line. We'll hear from Robert, the bicycle guy, and you too here on KGMI Connects, 360-676-5464.
Join the 2024 Whatcom County Home and Lifestyle Show, April 12th through 14th. Enjoy a jam-packed weekend full of fun events and inspiration for the whole family. Over 200 booths will showcase all that Whatcom County has to offer in home and lifestyle. And new this year is free admission. Plus, don't miss Whatcom County's first ever professionally sanctioned barbecue competition Saturday and Sunday. Competitors from all over the Northwest will compete for the title of grand champion and a $6,000 prize purse. And you get to taste your way through the event. Bring the family out to Fairhaven Floors Family Day from 11 to 4 with face painting, balloon animals, and meet Cinderella and Spider-Man. Plus, see the Reptile Man, a Lego building session with Lego Masters contestant Brad Bergman, and the Young Entrepreneurs Market, the Whatcom County Home and Lifestyle Show, presented by the BIAWC and sponsored by Judd and Black, April 12th through 14th at the Northwest Washington Fairgrounds. More info at BIAWC.com.
KGMI wants to put a grand in your hand. You could be one word away from a chance to win $1,000.
That's right. Just listen each weekday to KGMI for the keyword during the 8 a.m., 11 a.m., 2 p.m., and 5 p.m. hours.
Then go to the Grand in Your Hand contest page at mybellinghamnow.com before midnight and enter each keyword for your chance to win $1,000.
We'll have four keywords each weekday so you can increase your chances of winning by entering all four every day we play the contest.
You already listen to KGMI for the latest local news and discussion of the latest issues. Now you can win $1,000 while you do it.
A Grand in Your Hand is brought to you on KGMI by Niederhouse of Luxury, Whatcom County's newest fine jewelry store, next to Lombardi's on Bellwether Way.
A Grand in Your Hand is back on KGMI.
Get details at mybellinghamnow.com.
Lindale Glass is your premier window and door company in Whatcom and Skagit County. With over 35 years of professional installation experience, you can rely on the dedicated employees at Lindale Glass to provide an exceptional install. Lindale Glass features Milgard windows and doors, leading the industry with innovative, high-quality products. You can be assured of a product that is customized for your home. No shortcuts, no gimmicks, just excellent service and exceptional quality from Milgard. Visit a Lindale showroom to learn more or online at lindaleglass.com.
You've got questions about your car or truck, and we have answers on KGMI's In the Shop. Dan from Bellingham Automotive, Brian from Dr. John's Auto Clinic, and Kirk from Angler Automotive are here to help. And we have a great new way for you to get your questions or comments to them. Email them to intheshop@kgmi.com. Then listen each Saturday at 9 a.m. or check out the podcast at mybellinghamnow.com. Once again, that's intheshop@kgmi.com.
We're taking your calls live on KGMI Connects.
360-676-5464.
Good to have you with us here on this Tuesday afternoon. And Jack wanders around Western Washington. He's in Ballard today. Hi, Jack.
Hello there. I'm a bad contractor, so I have to go all over the place.
Okay. So you gotta keep, you're on the run, huh?
If I was good, I could stay in one place.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Or, so anyway,
I don't believe that.
There's that one gentleman that was talking about the preachers on the TV and end times and all that other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Most people get it wrong because they quote Jesus out of context. They say that he said this generation shall not pass away. What he was talking about is there was 14 generations from Adam to Abraham, 14 generations from Abraham to the captivity, and 14 generations from the captivity to Christ. So everything from the time of Christ onward is the 42nd generation. So when Christ says this generation, he's talking about the ones that have the opportunity to get adopted.
The opportunity to, I'm sorry, you broke up there.
Oh, I'm sorry. He was talking about the generation that has the opportunity.
Okay.
There's no grandkids, right?
Okay.
There's only children. And so my little brother, who's learning disabled, decided that he wanted to get baptized this weekend. And he wanted me to go with him because he's afraid of getting water on his face. And he said that he'd be able to do it, not feel like he was going to drown. So I went with him. And I was teasing him beforehand because he was getting nervous. He was watching everybody get dunked. And I was teasing him about peeing in the pool. I said, you pee in the pool, it looks like an octopus ink everywhere. And so he kept laughing. And when he talks very loud, and he was all stop it, you know, and really loud and disrupting the whole service and everything. So we had to calm down. And let me tell you something, two cups of coffee, morning service, running about a half hour late. Boy, let me tell you what, when it was all said and done and we got out of the pool, I couldn't wait to change and go to the bathroom. Okay. I didn't pee in the pool, but it was close. I had psyched myself up.
Well, and if it was a big ceremony, that those can take a while.
Yeah, there was. Yeah, there's about 1,000 people per, about 1,200 people per service, and there's probably 40. There was 20 that had signed up, and then there was 20 that were serendipitously after the fact. And everything. So I mean, it was a kind of a long procession, and it, you know, took him a little while to get changed. So we were towards the end of the line, and man, I was doing that dance. Right. And it was a big church, so it's about 600 yards to the nearest restroom.
Yeah. All right. All right, Jack.
Yep. Have a great day.
You too. You too. It's not, you know, not always easy, I guess, being a person of faith, the challenges. But let's go to Robert in Bellingham, our bicycle man. Hi, Robert.
Hello. Yeah, I got a couple of things responding to other callers. I think our society probably needs to emphasize quality of life and quality of community rather than just wealth. And I know people that run a business, sometimes they need to have a lot of wealth because the wealth is the business. Like, you know, if you own a business, you own buildings and you've got equipment, things like that, to provide the goods and services that you need. So I think that's okay. But I think that just the pursuit of wealth as a, on an individual level is maybe a bit of a disease when it goes too far. I think quality of life is what we should pursue, you know, satisfaction in life and the happiness index and higher levels, you know, spiritual type things rather than just consume.
Yeah, for sure. All right.
And then the other thing I was thinking about, there's the person who says that plants need carbon dioxide, and it's true. When I was in kindergarten, I used to go blow on plants because I thought I was feeding the plants, because my dad was a scientist. Yeah. But the problem is some plants, you know, you pump more carbon dioxide in the air and they do grow faster. There are other plants that don't. They just leave the carbon dioxide alone. They can only use so much. No. So you pump more carbon dioxide, they don't necessarily need it. But the problem there, yeah, it does, you know, it is plant food, but if you have too much in the atmosphere, then things get warmer and, you know, the climate does change. And that's, you know, maybe that can happen. But if you have property in Florida and the polar ice caps melt, you don't want your property underwater. And does he want to move to Canada, or would Canada even allow us in their country? Because the, you know, the farming goes farther and farther north. And certainly the world could change, but it changes out from under us. And our economy, we're kind of used to the way it is now. And if it changes in the next 2 or 3 decades, and people are underwater and drought, and they run out of water different places, and you know, like the Colorado River run dry, and you know, all of that is definitely going to affect our lifestyles and our civilization and our economy.
I mean, yeah, the Phoenix area, the county that Phoenix is in, they've curtailed new development because of concerns over the lack of water. And I think you make a good point, too. If more farmland becomes available because of thawing further north toward the Arctic Circle, okay, great. But does that mean then that farmland that in California and other areas in the central United States is going to just, you know, become unfarmable because of climate change? It's not all good. It won't, and there's some positive that could come from this, but then, okay, then we're getting all our food from Canadian farmers way up there in the, you know, in the Yukon. I don't know. Doesn't sound like the greatest option there, but thanks, Robert. Let's go to John in Bellingham. Hi, John.
Hey, Joe. You know, listening to the show, and heard the fellow
talking about the capsules on the Apollo flights, and that uh-huh. they all had 100% oxygen. And my first response was, well, that's just absurd. It can't possibly be right. And I realized that I actually didn't know the answer either way. I kind of agree with you. I mean, you can't live on pure oxygen. And plus, it would be extremely dangerous if anything went wrong. Look at Apollo 13. I'm not sure yeah. if there was a spark generated, but I just can't believe that all those various Apollo flights, and who knows what other ones, had pure oxygen environments in the capsules. But it seems odd that I don't know that for sure.
Yeah.
It made me think of all the claims people make all the time, and sometimes you just dismiss them. But that seems like one that should be easy to determine one way or the other. Whether
I looked up real quick, is it harmful to breathe 100% oxygen? This is an article on science.howstuffworks.com. They say it's not healthy, but they do note that astronauts in the Gemini and Apollo programs breathed 100% oxygen at in italics. It says reduced pressure for up to 2 weeks with no problem. So I guess if it was closely controlled, it would be okay. But breathing 100% oxygen, they also say in this article, can lead to fluid in the lungs, hyperventilation, labored breathing, chest pains, mild burning on inhalation, visual changes such as blurring and tunnel vision, headache, dizziness, disorientation, fever, myopia, cataract formation.
That's interesting. I would have thought for sure that money that he was wrong, but he may have actually been right.
Well, isn't hyperventilation, isn't that becoming basically your system, you're overwhelmed with too much oxygen, isn't that what causes hyperventilation?
Hyperventilating, you for whatever reason, some could be anxiety or whatever, but you start breathing too rapidly, and I'm not sure what all goes wrong. That's what my understanding of hyperventilation is. But I'm very surprised to learn that they actually may have done that, because you would have thought that after that, especially after that fire where the three were killed, that
yeah.
we would have known that would have been a commonly known fact one way or the other. But when he said that,
right.
my first response was, that can't be right. But then I realized I actually didn't know the answer.
To have something that concentrated, a gas that's so flammable, that concentrated. It's like the Hindenburg, you know, that they was full of hydrogen. And he went up like a Hindenburg. But all right, Joe, or John, rather. Thanks for calling. Appreciate it.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
But yeah, interesting issues for sure. And we're out of time. Sorry, I don't have Rick. Give us a call tomorrow, and we'll talk about the Apollo capsules a little more too, because that was a fascinating time for sure. I was a kid watching those launches. Oh, and we had Ed, I think, on Samish Island, who had called about Southern Rock the other day, and. He wanted to point out that Mountain was not a Southern rock band. They were from New York, or I want to say Massachusetts, Boston or something. But Nantucket Sleigh Ride was one of their albums. That's all the time we have. Hope you have a great rest of your day.
Hello, folks. This is Phil George. I'm an elder law and estate planning attorney here in Bellingham, and I would like to invite you to join me every Saturday and Sunday at 1 p.m. right here on KGMI for the Aging Hour. If you have questions about Medicare, Medicaid, long-term care costs, probates, wills, trusts, or anything else that has to do with aging, this is the radio show for you. Studies show that more than 70% of estate plans fail when families need them the most. Join us every Saturday and Sunday at 1 p.m. and we can show you how to set your family up for success.
Hey, this is Bill Witt, and I just won $1,000.
That's right. Bill is our first Grand in the Hand winner. Pretty nice, huh, Bill?
That's better than a sharp stick in the eye, eh?
You could be next. Just listen for our $1,000 keyword each weekday during the 8 a.m., 11 a.m., 2 p.m., and 5 p.m. hours. Enter before midnight at KGMI.com. It's that easy.
I thought you were a damn bill collector or something, you know? You called like four times. I'm glad you kept calling.
KGMI wants to put a grand in your hand.
When
next.
It's happening in Whatcom County, it's on KGMI and KISM HD2 Bellingham.
From the West Mechanical Studio.